Let's turn to James chapter 2. James chapter 2, we have covered the first portion that I'm going to read, but I'd like to read it anyway for connection, beginning verse 14, chapter 2, verse 14. James says, "What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, Depart in peace, be warmed and filled, notwithstanding, ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, Thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God? Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead?" Now, verse 21. "Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works?" And this is what I'd like to kind of spend some time, situation right here, that case, the illustration that James is bringing. "Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect?" Beautiful. That's beautiful. "And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise, also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she had received the messengers, and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." We just sang, and let me just go over that. That's a wonderful hymn. Salvation is free, free, free. By grace are you saved through faith. That's it. Not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, that any man should boast. So we know that to get saved, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Man is justified by faith. As simple as that. We are saved by grace through faith. But what James is saying, that when we get saved, the very moment we get saved, we are born again. We are born anew. We are born in the family of God. We have the Lord Jesus Christ living in us. We have the Holy Spirit living in us. We have God in us. The God of glory is in us. We become a new creature. Oh yes, we have the old man with us, sad to say, but we are a new creature. All things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Now, what James is saying, having received the Lord Jesus Christ as a personal Savior and Lord, and having received his life, a new life, then it's very, very natural that we have to show forth that life. it's like a tree. In our yard, we have some trees, and they look like they're dead. But then when it's springtime, a month or two later, all of a sudden, you have to see the leaves come out. And all of a sudden, when you see the leaves come out, oh, there's life, of course. There's life. And James is saying that we're justified by faith, but then when we are alive in Christ, we have to show forth that life. He says, but some will say, thou hast faith and I have works. Well, of course, this what James is saying, that this basically denies what God joins inseparably. What does God join? Well, he said, we are to be doers of the word and not hearers only. Word cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we hear the word of God, we're convicted, we receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our own personal Savior and Lord. And then what? Well, then we are to be doers. And the verses that I quoted a while ago, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But here's what it says. Now, after, it's all by grace through faith, right? But then once we receive that, then it says we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Got to show it. We have a life. We have to show the life. So, we are to be doers of the word and not hearers only. So then comes the refutation. Show me thy faith apart from works, and out of my works I will show thee my faith. Now, I have mentioned this before, and I'll mention it again. People outside who don't know anything about the Lord Jesus Christ, once they realize that we are born again, we are saved, guess what? They begin to value the Lord Jesus Christ but by what they see in us. What do we show forth? We say we're saved. We're born again. It's all by grace through faith. Show me. James says, show me. Show me. Now, it says, but wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead. Now, so he goes on, and he brings, he makes us confronted with an appeal to Abraham's case. Now, it's just so amazing that James would choose Abraham and Rahab to make his points. Thus far, he has been talking about helping the widows in distress, the orphans, those, and you have the poor. In fact, in Jerusalem, I mentioned before, I think, very soon after the Pentecost, people were getting saved all over, and there were about probably estimated at 150,000 people in Jerusalem and the surrounding area who got saved very quickly. And they were beginning to suffer very great persecutions. They needed help. And James, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ was poor himself. And James probably suffered a lot of poverty, and he's encouraging the believers who have to help those who have not. That's only fruit of salvation. But Abraham, what about Abraham? Why Abraham? Why get Abraham? Well, let me just talk a little bit about Abraham. And James is bringing basically the evidence of Abraham's faith by his works. So Abraham was not, of course, justified by works, but Abraham's justification was by faith. We see that in Romans chapter 4. It says, for if Abraham was justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. It was imputed to him for righteousness because he believed in God. Let me just Very briefly, just describe a little bit about, just the background here. The Lord Jesus, God, appeared to Abraham in Ur of the Chaldees in Genesis chapter 12. In Genesis chapter 12, when we come to Genesis chapter 12, that's about the midway of the Old Testament. Between Adam and Genesis chapter 12, there are 2,000 years. Between Genesis chapter 12, then the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, there's another 2,000 years. It's just about midpoint. The flood came 1656 years after Adam. And then about 350, 400 years after that came Abraham. So God appeared to Abraham at Ur of the Chaldees, and he told him, he gave him all the promises, made all the promises, and basically the promises consisted of two main areas. One was the land, and the other one was the seed. He was going to give him the land, and he was going to bless his seed. And the blessing of his seed was going to go all the way to the Gentiles, to the uttermost parts of the earth. And then, of course, when we come to David, the Davidical promise, covenant, was an extension of Abraham's covenant, and that is the kingdom, and also the duration is going to be forever and ever. And of course, that is going to be fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. So in chapter 12, God makes the promise to Abraham. Now, in chapter 15, when we come to chapter 15, it says Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. So in chapter 15, we know that Abraham got saved. And in chapter 15, following that, then God not makes promises to Abraham, but makes a covenant to Abraham. What he promised in chapter 12, he makes that, turns that into a covenant, unconditional covenant. God is going to see to it that everything that he told Abraham in that covenant was going to come to pass. That's fantastic. Now, all of a sudden, we are confronted with a different case in the life of Abraham. One of greatest weight with his descendants. The Jews respected Abraham, and this man had a trial that was not laid of any other believer until the Lord Jesus Christ. A friend of God. Now, the work of Abraham had nothing to do with benevolence. That's the problem. James was talking about helping the poor, helping the widows, helping the orphan. But here, Abraham, when it comes to Abraham, he brings Abraham as a case. It's so different. Nothing to do with benevolence. Cited as a deed of the highest moral excellence. Only God, something that's only God entitled to ask. I gave you that son, I want it back, Abraham. Only God. And proving that Abraham was justified by works. In other words, his works, what he's going to do, is going to basically prove his faith in the Lord. It's an act that's contrary, completely contrary to every instinct of a father. Was given a supreme test. Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and offer him for a burnt offering. 100 years of age. God gives him, in the most miraculous way, this son, in whom is going to be all the blessing, burnt offering. And this demand was not accompanied by any single word of comfort. God says, you take him, make him an offering. Not a single word of comfort. Unrelated to any stated reason. Why? God didn't have to tell him why. You take him? No reason given. Unconnected to any mention of promise. God didn't say, I was going to raise him up and I was going to have him come with you again. You take him up. What test? Only God is entitled to ask. And in spite of all the promised hopes and blessings, when God says, in this shall all the families of the earth be blessed, how could this be if Isaac must now die? You think that went through Abraham's mind? Lord, you gave me this son. You have said, the one I love, I have let Ishmael go. And here the son of promise, how can he die? And how can he die in my hands? Why not in somebody else's hands when I don't have to see this son that you have given me, whom I love so much? How can God establish his covenant for Abraham's seed after Isaac? He promised. How? Here's where Abraham's faith rested. Abraham knew that God had made that promise that in Isaac and through Isaac, the covenant is going to be going forth and completed. And he knew that God cannot lie. That's what he knew. By faith, he knew that God, who could deliver him from his sins, is a God who cannot lie. And he made that covenant, an unconditional covenant. He cannot lie. Oh, thank God. So Abraham was sure that if Isaac were to die, somehow God would raise him up from the dead to make God's promise good. Oh, what faith. What faith. God demanded what he alone is entitled. And we may think, how can God put such a demand on his friend? Abraham was the friend of God. Is God unjust? No. God is showing to the whole world who is supreme in Abraham's life. The God who gave him Isaac wants him back. He is supreme. God, as much as I love my son Isaac, as much as I know that all your promises are going to come through him, and yet you're mightier than he, and I'm going to be obeying. So, what did he have? He had faith, and he had works. He had faith, he believed in God, and it was imputed to him, counted to him for righteousness, and he's going to show forth by this tremendous, tremendous work. Faith, when he took Isaac and he put that kid, that lad, on that heap of wood, and he takes his knife, and he is ready, raised his hand. He wants to plunge it one time, and hopefully this would do it so he wouldn't suffer, the kid wouldn't suffer. God says, that's enough. Don't do it. That's enough. So, his faith was manifested. Abraham showed his faith. By what? By works. Manifested. It was demonstrated. It was confirmed to be true and genuine. And that's what James says. Look at Abraham. He was justified by word before the whole world. By the instance of his obedience to God. And the good work that was displayed was the offering up of Isaac. Yes, he was justified before Isaac was born. He had faith. As I said in Genesis chapter 15. Justified. And then Isaac, Genesis chapter 22. He was a man of faith. Enjoyed close relationship with God. His faith was evidenced in with good works. So the writer of the Hebrews says in chapter 11, agrees with James. He says, by faith Abraham, what? When he was tried, offered up Isaac. As I have been looking on this portion, I just kept examining myself. How supreme, how preeminent is God in my life? What can God demand of me that I will be willing to do? How supreme is he? And then, of course, on the other hand, he told Paul, as Paul was praying that the thorn in his flesh would be removed, the messenger of Satan is buffeting him. He says, my grace is sufficient for thee, and my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rejoice in infirmities. Oh. Will I glory in infirmities that the power of God, the power of Christ may rest upon me? God's grace. Abraham was able to do it because of God's grace. More grace. More grace. Paul says, your grace is great. That's fantastic. Fantastic. That's enough. So, and the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. Let me ask you this, and ask myself, is God entitled to ask at whatever cost? Is God entitled to ask me and you at whatever the cost is? I'll take about 30 seconds just to mention Rahab also, just the introduction. We have another example cited, and that's the faith of Rahab. It's so completely, the circumstances are so as different as can be from that of Abraham. Abraham, God-fearing man, she's a woman, Rahab is a woman, a Gentile, a Canaanite of an accursed race. They had to be wiped out by the children of Israel. And previously of a bad character, a harlot. Yet after believing, she entered, what? The line of David the king. Salmon begat Boaz of Rahab. Salmon may have been one of the spies that Rahab saved, rescued. Boaz, and Boaz what? Boaz begat Obed of Ruth, another Gentile, the Moabitess. Rahab, Canaanitess. Ruth, Moabitess. And then, of course, Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David the king. And here, again, the blessing of God. Grace, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. In Abraham's case, is Isaac is too good for you, for me, too good for me. What weight do I have? The Lord says to Abraham, if I demand Isaac, would you give him to me? Abraham says yes. Rahab, oh yes, I'll free those who are here in my possession. I could turn them over, but I'd rather betray and be condemned to death if I have to, by my country, because I believe in God. Our Father, we are so grateful and thankful for your faithfulness. You've done it all. All to you we owe everything. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And we're justified by grace through faith. That's all. You've done it all. Our Lord Jesus Christ accomplished everything you demanded, met every demands that you had against our sins. And you are free to save. And it's your will to save. And you're pleading with men to be saved. We thank you and praise you. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we give you thanks. Amen.